Okay. Our speaker today is Larry Schrader, president of Five Star Properties Incorporated, a company which has owned and operated income investment real estate in the Atlanta metropolitan and North Georgia areas since 1991. He's a real estate agent with Amera Realty and was a realtor with REMAX Northeast for many years prior to this. Larry is also an independent representative with Fortune High Tech Marketing, FHTM, and EMA, Eddie Mayfield's company. Larry is originally from Chattanooga, where he was in management with JCPenney. He accepted a promotional transfer to Atlanta, later began his real estate career. He came to a new knowledge of how God can use a businessman in the workplace when he was invited to a meeting by his wife, Deborah. Shortly after they met, Larry and Deborah have four children and two grandchildren, and make their home in Lilburn, Georgia. He co-founded and co-hosts the Norcross Luncheon, which has met weekly since 1985. Larry's probably my best friend and knows me the most and still wants to be my friend, so that's a good thing. And the speaker that we had here had a business appointment at the last time and couldn't attend, which happens from time to time. So as Larry and I were sharing, I said, Larry, it's been a little while since you spoke, and I thought it was a year and a half. It's been 3.5 years since Larry shared his testimony. So it's great to have him share again. Please welcome Larry Schrader.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Hines. You know, as I was thinking about what to share after Hines offered that last week, I thought, man, my life has really changed over the last few years, as has everybody's probably. We like to look at people like Hines and say, well, all this stuff's going on affects me, but it doesn't affect Hines. Hines and I had lunch a couple of weeks ago, and we left that meeting out in the parking lot. Hines says, man, I didn't realize all that was going on with you. And that put me on a path that I want to share with you today. In fact, I was thinking about a realtor up in the Gainesville area that was driving down the road at 55 miles an hour, which is a speed limit, and there was a chicken ran up beside him on the expressway or on the road there and ran ahead of him and turned off right to on a dirt road, and he was really curious. He followed that dirt road, and the chicken ran up in the yard at a farmhouse. He pulled it up in the yard himself. As he got out of the car, farmer came out of the house and says, can I help you? He said, yeah. You know, I think I saw a chicken run by me. And he looked over. There it is. And there were many chickens out there. And he noticed that that chicken had three legs, not two. So he said, wow, that is weird. How do you do that? Why do you do that? He said, well, people like to eat drumsticks. So we found out a way that all these chickens have three legs. He said, how do they taste? The farmer says, I don't know. We haven't caught one yet. But it's something that got that realtor's attention. And I want to share with you some things that got my attention as I went through life. I am from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I worked part-time with JCPenney up there while I was in college. I got out of school and went on their management program. Moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I got married while I was up there working with JCPenney. I'm married, and my wife and I were transferred here to the North Lake store when we opened that store back a long time ago. During that time, I loved what I was doing. I had a real passion for the retail business because that's the only thing I knew. As I worked there, the first year we rented an apartment, and I went to management after that first year and said, I never want to leave Atlanta. It's got everything I want. Never want to move. And I stayed in that same store about 10 years, promoted to different levels. I remember a time that I proposed to my supervisor that I take over the entire. My initial responsibility was the auto center there at that store, and that was on the back of the complex, on the back of the mall. Just inside that door was the hardware department, lawn and garden, the sporting goods department. And I needed a way to make more money. So the guy that ran those departments had announced that he was resigning. So I told my supervisor, Lynn Phillips, I said, Lynn, you know what? I can run all those areas in addition to what I'm doing. They said, let me talk to somebody about that. See, in my mind, I'm thinking, I would get, Dave Pollock was the guy's name, I would get Dave's pay and my pay. That would double my pay. I was 23 years old. I didn't know any better. But as it turns out, they created a new position called a senior merchandise manager and promoted me, gave me those areas, and gave me $50 a month more. That didn't quite work out the way I thought. Talking about working out the way I thought, how many of us have been involved in something that over the last couple of years and it just didn't work out the way we thought? Several of us. I know I continue to just take that as part of what's going on in the world now. The uncertainty is something that we need to embrace and not get upset about. There's some things that we can control, there's some that we can't, and the part that we can control gets smaller and smaller. I believe that part of that reason is for us to have a greater reliance on the Lord. In fact, getting back to my path with J.C. Penney, after I left them, I went to work for a doctor as a business manager for a group of medical clinics. And during that time, I found myself with so much free time. Those that know about retail know that you work a lot of hours. You work a lot of evenings and weekends in the retail business. I found myself with extra time, and I end up going to a seminar that teaches you to buy real estate, nothing down. Robert Allen, nothing down. I took that course, and it really did change my life because I recognized ways to put things together to be able to acquire properties. And through, I set a goal to be worth $1 million in 5 years, and I started acquiring properties and doing things. So for 14 months, I did that part-time while I was managing a group of medical clinics. And after 14 months, I had enough property that I decided I was going to do it full-time. I realized that I'd done quite well part-time, and just think what I could do full-time. Reminds me of a mechanic over in Stone Mountain telling me one time, I had told him that I used to like to work on cars, and I said, maybe I should have been a mechanic. And he said, Larry, I want to tell you something. It's a lot different when you're doing it as a hobby than it is as a career. And I found that in the real estate business. Suddenly, I didn't have another income source and doing the real estate business part-time. I was relying on what I was doing, and I found myself working retail hours in that real estate business, but I did build a portfolio that was sizable. I reached my goal in about 8 years of the financial position I wanted to be in, and I was really in pretty good shape because I was acquiring some properties and flipping them. Others I would hold on to and rent. Others I would do lease option. Even some of them I would acquire and do owner finance for people who just hit tough times but seem like good people. And I would be the bank for them. So I had what I felt like was a diversified portfolio in real estate. During that time, now let me back up because I didn't talk about meeting Deborah. Deborah is my wife. As I got involved so much with J.C. Penney, my passion, I told you I was married when I came to Atlanta. My ex-wife, notice I said ex-wife, found other things to do. It turns out she had an affair with somebody in our church even. And I went through a divorce. I decided, well, I didn't need to be married. I would just work all the time. And that didn't work out so well. I met someone. I had a friend that lived over in Tucker. And I met a young lady next door. Talk about opportunity. She had a little Dachshund puppy that ran across the yard. And I had asked my friend who it was, and he told me her dad was an attorney. He didn't know her name. But I picked the dog up and took it back to its owner. Talked with her, and I said, well, maybe we could go out to dinner sometime with Walter and Pam. And she said, maybe we can do that. So I went back to Walter and said, yeah, she said she'd go out. He says, we ought to go to the Braves game. There was a game coming up on Memorial Day night with a big fireworks display. So I went back over and asked her, and she said, yeah, that'd be fine. We went to the Braves game, and the next day she called me, had a good time. Next day she called me and asked me, would I be interested in going to a businessmen's meeting on Saturday? And I said, sure. She said, no, it's Christian businessmen. My dad is the president of the Atlanta chapter. I said, yeah, that's fine. I'm a Christian. So I get there, and I hear a testimony at a setting very similar to this, of course, much larger. The Atlanta chapter of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship was the largest chapter in the world. And as I heard Larry Carr, who was a developer that was developing properties down in San Salvador, as he shared his testimony and the importance of God in his life, the importance of God in decisions that he made, I thought, man, that is really worthwhile. I mean, you're growing in knowledge, and at the same time, you're growing spiritually. It just seems, and you're meeting good people. Seems like there's so many areas of gratification there. So the way home, Deborah said, they're meeting again tomorrow. This is a convention. I went the next morning and heard Paul Yarbrough, who was a Ford dealer from Dallas, Texas, share his testimony. And then I was hooked on going to those meetings. And I told Deborah, I never want to miss another meeting. Well, it turns out Deborah and I were married after about 14 months. And we've continued to be in love with Full Gospel as it was in those days, because it had such an impact on my life, Hines' life. And as we have grown spiritually, we've understood the importance of a layman sharing his testimony of how important God is in all parts of his life, not just his spiritual life, but his business life and his family life. In fact, as I was thinking of the way things have changed over the last 2.5 years for me, everything had gone so well in real estate over the first 22 and a half years that I thought I just needed to ride it through. And for those that know anything about real estate, I know, Larry Roberts, you do. You dealt with real estate with Cindy's for a long time. And the idea in real estate, if you can hold on long enough, you'll be okay. But I reached a point on much of my real estate that it was going to be too long, and my pockets weren't deep enough because I'd spent all my cash. So it turns out I lost some properties, residential properties. Five-star properties still own some mobile home parks. But what had been my main source of income, I had to start looking for other things to supplement that income. I mentioned Fortune High Tech Marketing. That's a direct sales company I got involved with. I had breakfast with Eddie Mayfield on a regular basis every week, and he would share a lot of things about his business, which involves variable speed drives for heat and air conditioning units for commercial buildings. And I felt like there was so much potential here in Atlanta that I suggested to him, he was going through a time that he was needing salespeople. He had gone through a couple that just didn't work out for him. I said, Eddie, you know what you ought to do? You ought to let me do that. You cover my expenses and do nothing but commission on it. And let's give it a shot and see if I can help you part-time. He said, let me think about that. He got with his general manager and his shop manager, and we met. And that became another income source. And as I was reviewing it, thinking about what I was going to share with you today, I found myself in a diversified income stream, a diversified career where I was in the real estate business and I had income from different sources, be it the lease option, flipping the houses. Now then, I've got diversified income from these different sources. Too many times, we set our mind, if we're in the retail business working for JCPenney, and the reason I'm going to say this is because I was there. I felt like if I left JCPenney, I had to go to work for Sears. We really limit ourselves. When we start to understand that each one of us has God-given ability and talents that are transportable because they go with us, that's who we are. They're the same no matter where we are. They're the same in the field I'm in with Eddie, even though I've had people say, well, you don't know anything about that. Well, you only need to know a little bit about that because we've got a lot of technicians that know a lot about it. As I realize that God has given us an ability to communicate like we're doing today, as He's given us confidence to believe that He's got a plan for us, we can move forward confidently knowing that He's got control. In November of 2004, I found out I had colon cancer. As I faced surgery, I was not sure of the outcome. After surgery, I'm laying there in the bed and thinking, man, I don't know how I'll recover. They got all the cancer, I did find that out, but there wasn't anything I could do to speed the recovery up. And at that time, I realized that it's more of God and less of me. And as I had that thought, that's the way it's supposed to be all the time. When we're healthy or when we're sick, should be more of God and less of me. I think as I realized that, it really prepared me for what was going to happen a few years later in my business. So it had to be more of God and less of me. As I encounter opportunities, be it with EMA, FHTM, whether it be in my real estate business. Stacy Burton, my broker over at the REMAX office, had reached a point that he had to make a business decision, as I did in many of those properties. Stacy made the decision not to keep the REMAX franchise. That's how bad the real estate business was. In fact, the office building that Stacy had the REMAX office in, he ended up selling it because the way a REMAX franchise works, you rent office space to agents, and then they keep the commission. It worked out great for me for many years. But then it was over. Now, we think about our lives today and think about how it compares. Now, I'm up here telling you how different mine is from where I was 2.5 years ago. But if you'll roll back your mind to 2.5 years ago how it was, I'm sure that you'll see a drastic difference in your life. It may be because of grandchildren. It may be because of our children. Any number of things over a 2.5 year span now, I believe, is far different than it was 2.5 year period in the 70s, for instance. And one of the things is we're on a rapid path of change, constant change. Technology is one of the things that causes that to take place. I think in the workplace, we will never see it the way it was as we grew up. I think that's just part of reality. If we get stuck in a place that's a comfort zone for us and we're not aware of what's going on outside of our sphere, then we can be woken up by big surprises sometimes. I think particularly in the marketplace and business, there are things going on that affects what we do that we have no idea that it's going on. One of the things that our general manager over at EMA shared with me the other day, the value of the dollar, for instance, as it continues to weaken, any imported material from other countries is going to cost more. I'm sure you handle imported material in what you put together, Hines. And many... we're importing so much in this country, that's got to cause a lot of inflation. And we need to be ready for it because inflation's coming, no doubt about it. In fact, it's already here. If you just notice the grocery prices, the way they've increased. Now, facing that without knowledge of how to handle it, I heard something yesterday that nothing is free but the grace of God. And it's great that we have the grace of God available to us. And it's not going to go up in price. It's always going to be free. But what responsibility we have is to share that with others and them come into a full knowledge of that. You know, as we understand the responsibility we have as Christians to share the love of the Lord with others, then if we really understand that and we go about our lives trying to be more of what God wants us to be, we will have a definite impact on others. Our influence will be in places that we never even thought about. They will appear, and we need to be consciously, spiritually sensitive to opportunities to share with others where the hope is. I think as we encounter people focusing on problems, as we encounter people focusing on obstacles that they just don't quite know how to handle, sometimes just merely things that we share that we're focused on things we don't know how to handle either. But what makes us able to do it is the fact that we've got a relationship with the Lord. It opens up the door for us to allow them to have a new understanding in that area. Getting back to the full gospel, I remember the first scripture that had an impact on me when Frank Phillips, he owned Jiffy John Corporation that had the portable toilets for the construction sites. He had asked me, after I had been involved with Full Gospel for a while, to help in a prayer room the following convention. We used to have a convention in June where we'd have speakers come in from all over the world, really. Sir Lionel Lacoue was a person that was knighted by the Queen of England. He flew in to speak at that particular meeting. But I went down, I got up that morning. We stayed there in the hotel, and I remember thinking about, I know Frank is going to ask me to say something. And I suddenly became pretty fearful. I thought, man, I am not used to speaking in front of people that way. And I went over and I was shaving, and I started weeping, tears running down my cheeks. I went over and opened the Bible up. And I opened it up to Matthew 5:14 through 16. It says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And as I read that, I had peace. I went down to that room that morning and a few minutes later, and sure enough, as soon as I came in, Frank says, "There's Larry. He's already been with the Lord. Come on up here, Larry." Well, see, what I found out is I just had my first testimony to share. How the Lord had given me that scripture, and as I shared that with them, that was meaningful to me because it really happened. Now, if you're out sharing with other people, you are indeed living out a testimony that you'll be able to share with others. That increase not only increases your faith as you share it, but increases that person to whom you're sharing it with, increases their faith, so maybe they can go and do likewise. I think of the men that were effective in my life, even in Rossville, Georgia. See, I was born in Chattanooga. We moved to Rossville when I started the ninth grade. And I think of a sports figure that had great impact on me at an early age. The Chattanooga Cherokees were a semi-pro team up there in Chattanooga. And I would read the sports pages and see pictures of Emmett Wilson. He was a defensive end with the Cherokees. And we hear a knock on the door and go to the front door, and I open it up, and there is Emmett Wilson. And I say, "Well, hi." And he introduced himself, and his reason for being there was that he drove the church bus, and he was going to bring it down where we live if we would go to church. And we agreed to do that. Now, the idea that Emmett got my attention more than going to church did. See, we didn't go to church. In fact, Dad was a truck driver, and that's just something that had never been part of our lives. I ended up attending church there, and during a youth revival the following year, that's when I gave my life to the Lord at 16 years old. My brother did, my sister, my mother. And then on Easter of that year, I asked Dad to go to church with us. He said, no, I don't think so, son. I said, Dad, you know, I'd really like for you to go. Easter's, you know, a special time. And he said, all right, I'll go. So he didn't sit with me. Me and my girlfriend were sitting on the outside. He was sitting in the middle row of pews. And during the invitation, I felt led to go over and talk to Dad. And I walked around the front of the set of pews and over to Dad. With tears in my eyes, I said, Dad, you're such a good man. Won't you go down there and be saved? He said, no. And I started apologizing. I said, Dad, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you by coming over here. He reached out his hand. And he later told me that it was me apologizing for doing something that was right that moved him to go down. He gave his life to the Lord. We never know what is the effect of our actions. But it's God's timing that's so important in everything we do. I think as I look back and recognize now that Mother's gone on to be the Lord, recognize that the impact that God has had on Dad, he later became a deacon in that same church. The impact that God has had on Dad's life just can't be measured. But you know, as we take part in what we're supposed to be doing in our family, and those we work with, as we think about the impact of any of the people that we come in contact with, they should be able to see that there's something different in us than what's out in the world. I think it can't be fake. It's got to be really part of who we are. It should be something that just naturally comes about to where we don't have to force it to happen. During times like these, do you think there are probably more people needing to hear from us than ever before? I do. I do. I think there are more people losing hope day by day. We like to think the economy's turning around, but there's some underlying things that's not going to make it a quick recovery. That's been real obvious. The job elimination that has taken place, many of those jobs will never be replaced. I mean, that's just the way it really is. We have to continue to keep our ear to the ground and don't limit ourselves. Believe that God has a plan for our life and try to stay in a relationship with Him where we understand constantly His direction and then be obedient to where we can be more of what He wants us to be. I'm going to leave you with this thought that with the uncertainty that we have in this world, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And that's where I'm putting my future. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Larry. Great job. And Larry, I think his theme was things that get your attention, and like the chicken, that would get my attention too. I'd probably check my own breath, make sure I hadn't gone back to drinking if that happened. But anyway, there also the key of starting your business while you're working for someone else. I saw a book recently about taking risks, and his point was sort of what Larry did, that you minimize your risk if you can do something else while you're kind of engaged in something that meets your needs financially in a job. And of course, that's not always possible, because there are times where you don't have that job to fall back on. But worked great for many years, then it was over. How many have that T-shirt and whatever that may be? I remember, and then had peace, the peace that passes understanding. I believe that peace can come in the midst of difficult circumstances if we keep our focus on Jesus. More of Him, less of me. I'm about finished with a book called Heaven is for Real. I don't know whether any of you have heard that, but yeah, it's about a little boy, 4 years old, who starts sharing. He had this real major health issue and was in surgery, and begins to share things with his dad about heaven. And one of the things that, and so his dad is trying to figure out what he really saw without telling him what he think he saw, you know, what he thought he saw, because he doesn't want to get his mind thinking. Well, no, this particular case, he said he was only dead for 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I do have another CD of a guy that was dead for an hour and 45 minutes, Dean Braxton, and if you're interested in that, please feel free to get that. But so he was sharing different things, and one time they were talking about Jesus' death on the cross, and I think it was Easter time, and his little son was playing there, and his dad finally said, he said, Colton, that was the little boy's name, he said, why did Jesus die? And the kid kind of looks up at him and he said, well, Jesus said so you could spend time with his dad. Isn't that sweet? That's the gospel message. Jesus came so we could spend time with his dad. And it's not just pie in the sky sometime in the future, which is, I believe that the reason I'm so passionate about sharing Christ is because I believe there are consequences to people not accepting Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. I don't think there's any plan B. God gave us Christ to accept his free gift, and I believe that's through grace alone, which means God did it because he wanted to, not because of anything he owed us. It's by faith alone. That means we can't work our way to it. We can't sing enough songs. We can't help enough people in Christ alone. And I believe there's only, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And he validated that he was God through the resurrection. I was reading that in Romans 1 again today. You know, it was, somebody said one time, if a guy says he's going to raise from the dead and pulls it off, I'm going with him regardless of what he thinks, you know. But anyway, Jesus is the Son of God. The thing that I find so exciting, and Larry has too, in our faith, is Jesus looks for an intimate, right now, relationship with us right in the middle of where we are. And too many times for me, and maybe for you too, that's been clouded by religious stuff. You know, you got to go here, you got to do this, you got to say this, you got to... And that's good. It's not bad to be in fellowship with other believers, whatever church you belong to. I'm not taking any shots at any denomination. I'm just saying that that relationship Jesus wants is kind of up to us. It starts with accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's a transition that we just, a transaction we make with God. One of the gals that spoke at open mic, Caroline, talked about being in the new age and, you know, being in business, and finally she saw the Passion of Christ, and that movie moved her so much to see what Jesus went through to die for our sins. And right after that, someone invited her to church where they showed clips from that same movie. And so here was her profession of faith. God, my life really stinks. In fact, she didn't use stink. She used another word, but that's all right. If you want it so bad, you can have it. Shazam. A peace came over her that her friend who had invited her said she knew the exact moment when that happened. What a sweet, rich testimony. So, the exciting thing is... The exciting thing is that we're not alone, that God is not out in the distance. Isn't there some song that somebody wrote that sounds very, very nice, but just isn't true? God is here in us, living by the power of the Holy Spirit in born-again believers that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he's after us whether we know him or not. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but have sensed God chasing you before you were serious about Him? I sensed that most of my life. So anyway, great sharing. You want to close it, Larry?
I want to share something.
No, come on up here, on the mic.
As you were sharing when you were there, I thought of something that happened to me Sunday morning at 4 o'clock. And I believe this is right on with where I need to remain with the Lord in my relationship. I had missed this meeting 2 weeks in a row. As I mentioned a while ago, one of them was a planned thing. When you're working for somebody else, you've got to cater to what they want you to do. And I had a training thing that conflicted with this. Last week, I mentioned I simply had an appointment that ran over at Emory Hospital, and I had to court his favor. I had to stay there as long as he wanted to talk. I woke up at 4 o'clock on Sunday morning, thinking about a daily email that I had been sending out to the group that I have with this Fortune High Tech Marketing. And I felt so bad that I hadn't been sending it out. Because many times I send it out after I do my morning devotion. We had quit having a Tuesday meeting that we used to have at Tuesday at Stacy's office, where it was a Bible discussion. Mac, we had invited you to that several times. And what we did there is I opened it up like I do here with sharing a scripture and a thought, and then we just discuss it. And we quit doing that when we got rid of the office. So I'm waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking about what's got me farther away from God, because I'd quit being in the Word every day. And I thought of the email, and that being a reason for me to get a thought from God every day and send that out. I got up on Sunday morning and did that very thing and sent out the email. And I put a note on there. If you prefer not to be on this email, please let me know and I'll delete you. I've been lax on getting it out. And I apologize for that, but if you prefer not. And I got so many saying what it meant to them, saying, don't delete me. I want to hear from you. Sometimes our personal relationship with the Lord can have a negative effect on others and we not even know it. In fact, they not even know what's missing. It could be that God has given you an opportunity which you haven't really focused on, where you've looked at it and said, well, that might be an opportunity, and that's as far as your thought went. I want to encourage you. If you're really serious about getting closer to God and being used by God, I want to encourage you to spend time with Him in His Word, to spend time with other people, other Christian people, and to spend time in prayer, seeking out what He would have you do. In these times, we have to be a positive effect on others, or we're not fulfilling what God would have us do. We have to be something they can look to as offering a difference, having something to offer them that will make a difference in their life. And I believe that we glorify God every time we befriend somebody and tell them about Jesus. If it's passing out one of those things that you do after lunch, consistently, God smiles every time you do that. Praise the Lord. That's...
And another quote I heard is that when God thinks of us, He has happy thoughts. Isn't that sweet? I believe that's true. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank You. Thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. Such a horrible, horrible death. And Father, I think not only was that perfect justice that You provided the payment for our sins through Your Son, Jesus, but it was also a shout of Your love for us. As Your Son, Jesus, hung on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying, You were shouting, I love You. Come to Me. I love You. See how much I love You. Thank You, Lord, for the men and women that have been influences in our lives to draw us to You. And I pray we would be that for others too, as Larry shared, that we might look for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus and how he's changed our lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you for always showing up. We pray your blessing on every person here that needs a word from you. Would you speak to them specifically today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.